There's three sides to every story. There's my side, your side, and the truth.
Well, may we say God save the Queen, because nothing will save the Governor yet.
I photograph what my conscience asks me to.
You bet you are. You bet I am.
We're going to fight for those Australians who haven't got the time to go around and get on Twitter and wear T-shirts.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
G'day folks and welcome to another episode of The Curb. My name is Andrew Pierce and this is a podcast that takes a look at Australian culture, films and a whole bunch more. This podcast is recorded in the lands of the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation and I pay respects to their elders both past, present and emerging. On this particular episode, I catch up with somebody I never actually thought I'd probably talk to, which is producer Sean Devandran, who is from Lad Bible Australia Originals. Now, how did I end up talking to somebody from Lad Bible? Well, there is a new series which is available on Amazon Prime called Unheard, and it is all about racism in Australia. It is a really powerful series and one that I highly recommend everybody watch, and I know that the instant reaction from some people out there listening to this, or maybe when it pops up on Amazon Prime, might think, why do I need to watch another show that's about racism? Well, this particular one is told from the perspective of people who have lived with racism within Australia. We're talking about Aboriginal people within Australia. We're talking about refugees. We're talking about people who have been the victims of Islamophobia. It is hard-hitting. It is powerful. But it is also something that we need to address as a nation and as a community as a whole. And I dig into the origins of this particular series with Sean, and also how to break down the barrier with people who might not consider themselves as racist or might not see that there is a problem in the nation as a whole. It is a little bit difficult, but it's something that we all need to do, and those difficult conversations are hard for sure, but we need to have them. With that in mind, folks, I'm about to play the trailer for this particular show. There are some things in this episode that might be a little bit triggering for some people, so keep that in mind. If you are listening, this is, of course, we're talking about racism here. We are talking about Aboriginal people who have died in custody. We are talking about those real issues that have occurred. So please, if those kinds of things might be triggering to you, maybe give this episode a skip, but certainly recommend this series to people that might really need to take a look at it or have a benefit from actually watching it. Again, it's on Amazon Prime, and as I mentioned during the interview as well, the first two episodes are free to people to watch as well. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can certainly check out the first two episodes and hopefully get a little bit hooked there. All right, guys, here's the trailer. We'll be back with the interview with Sean.
My skin tone, my colour, they would call it yuck.
Go back to China, you Asian dog.
I didn't want to be black anymore. I didn't want to be myself.
They started to throw stuff.
They stormed David Searle, hold him face down. Why didn't they listen when he was telling them, I can't breathe?
Here in Australia, everyone reckons racism doesn't exist when it happens almost every day to a lot of people.
To even suggest that racism is a problem, it's interpreted as if someone is trying to wage a culture war on Australia.
People do treat you differently because of how you look or how they think you look.
It's not spoken about at all until we hit a crisis.
Politicians and media commentators almost are making it an objective of theirs to put that misinformation out there.
The narrative is taken away from us and we're told what we are.
Racism has found its way into our laws and the way they're enforced.
100% of the kids in Northern Territory are in custody are Aboriginal. There's obviously something going on here.
We are one of the only countries that detain children. Is this what we really stand for as a nation?
If I don't step up and share my experience, what always is will always be.
We're at a point where we just need to tell the stories and make people sit with them uncomfortably for a while.
Wow, it looks like a lovely office you got there.
This is just my spare room with where I do all my work and stuff and, all my DVDs and things there, so...
Looks like a solid collection. Yeah, lovely.
There's about It stretches more that way, but there's about 3,000 discs in there. So
wow,
just a few.
Incredible.
Just a few.
I had a similar collection back in the day, and then I left the country for a little while. And when I came back, my family had given them all away. My VHSs, like Pulp Fiction originals, and yeah, I was heartbroken. They go for like $150 a piece.
Yeah.
Nowadays, yeah.
You can't see it, but over there I have a copy of Braindead, Peter Jackson's Braindead on VHS.
Oh, wow.
And it's in good condition, and I follow it on eBay every so often, and they go for $400, $500. It's a little bit insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, got to support physical media, I guess is the best way of putting it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah, awesome. All right, let's jump into talking about this really powerful series. It's a difficult watch for sure, but I kind of want to get into the heart of how this came out to start off with, and then we can explore how difficult it is to tell these kinds of stories. So I understand that you are one of the main people that's behind creating Unheard. Where did this idea come from, and how did you approach it to start off with?
I think what we saw in 2020 was thousands and thousands of Australians taking to the streets, demanding better coverage of these issues here in Australia of racial injustice. And it raised a very good question. Why is it that most Australians know who George Floyd is, but not many know the names David Dungay Jr. or TJ Hickey or their stories? And so Lad Bible, with our reach of over 500 million people worldwide, we set out to create a campaign essentially around lending our platform and our audience to those organisations and the communities they represent to really bolster support behind, you know, the sometimes violent and the issues that they're facing, but also, you know, support their calls for justice. And so in 2021, in February, we launched the Unheard campaign, which essentially, you know, helped funnel our audience into supporting those partners, the National Justice Project, National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services, Deadly Connections, Asian Australian Alliance, Islamophobia Register, Refugee Council of Australia, among many others. And what we saw is, you know, almost immediately we reached over 100 million people worldwide and helped generate over 250,000 signatures. So working with those partners, we began to identify emblematic cases of the issues that we're facing. And, you know, some of those issues were Indigenous deaths in custody, the targeting of Indigenous youth, attacks towards Asians during COVID, attacks towards Muslim women in Australia, the treatment of asylum seekers and refugees, and the vilification of the African community. And so, you know, building those relationships with the partners and participants, we began to develop a documentary series of the same name, Unheard, and partnered with Amazon Prime Video to kind of make sure that these stories were going out to the world.
I didn't realize, I mean, I know Lad Bible's big, but I didn't realize it was that big. Like that's a huge audience to reach, and to use the platform of, you know, reaching so many different people for a good purpose is really powerful. I guess, I mean, for me, could you just give a bit of a history of Lad Bible and how it's come about and how it's become so big as well, so people get an understanding of how it's effectively one of the major players in media today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think probably most people may know Lad Bible from the social videos and I guess the presence on social platforms around the world. And as those numbers began to grow, Lad Bible developed a Spider-Man-esque style slogan: with great social power comes great social responsibility. So, you know, Lad Bible Group worldwide reaches approaching 1 billion people. And so we look at ways to help, you know, bolster support around the issues that our audience care about and that we generally care about as well. And so when Lad Bible Australia first came to Australia, we launched the Citizen Reef Canning, which is about addressing climate change and the health of the Great Barrier Reef, making the world's largest living organism, the Great Barrier Reef, an Australian citizen, and holding the Australian government to account by providing the Great Reef with the highest level of health and the right to life. But, you know, what we saw this year and last year, and, you know, this has been going on for decades now, is the issue of racial injustice. And so really what we try to do is engage that audience to really kind of drive forward not only spreading awareness, but also helping to promote action. And we've seen success in this space before. You know, in the UK, had a campaign around helping homosexual men donate blood up until June of 2020. That was illegal in the UK. And there were certain terms you had to go through. And through a campaign called a legal blood bank, we managed to help overturn that law in the UK. And so hopefully we see similar success with the Unheard campaign and the Unheard series.
Yeah, I hope so too, because it's a seriously powerful series. And it's something that I think, especially in the trailer, which I think most people are going to be watching the trailer first before they actually embark on the series, because reading about it, they're going to probably feel that it's a bit of a difficult watch, and it is a difficult watch, and it should be. But there is a pointed moment, a comment that's in the trailer, which basically says, we need to shame people into action. We need to shame people into change. How is that part of the Unheard campaign? Is that a conscious thing that is part of the Unheard campaign, or is it just a thing that one of the people in the series has mentioned themselves?
I don't think they said shame. I think you might be referring to Jenny Leong's
quote. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
She said, we've reached a point where we need to just tell stories and sit with them uncomfortably for
that's
a while.
It. Yeah. And I guess it's translated in my mind to be like, I feel like, I guess when I was watching, I'm like, I feel that we need to shame people into change myself. That's how I've probably changed it myself. So, yeah, because...
Yeah, no. And I think that's a big part of it. It is an uncomfortable conversation to have. They are uncomfortable issues to kind of deal with. But I think as Australians and, you know, as a human race, we need to move through that. We need to acknowledge that there are issues. And it's not I don't think it's a cultural attack on Australia. I don't think it's... pointing fingers. I think it's saying, look, there are issues that we've inherited over generations, and there's intergenerational trauma that many communities experience, and as a result, you know, we see, you know, some of these issues that we have to deal with today. And so I think it is about acknowledging, yes, there is an issue, and really not kind of, I guess, not seeing it as a personal attack, as seeing it as these are people's lives that are being impacted. And that's what we tried to do with the series in 8 episodes, is we first start with a personal story. So it's about a mother who's lost her son. It's about a daughter who's trying to take her mother to the theater and they're assaulted for their look. It's about two sisters going to the shops and being blamed for COVID and being attacked and threatened with a knife. And when the audience can, you know, connect with that human story, we then begin to see that these aren't isolated incidents. You know, we break out the statistics and we see how commonplace, you know, these incidents are. And really, I think we need to address those broader issues and say, you know, these aren't isolated incidents here and there. We need to look at ways to better document that. And hopefully we've kind of highlighted that in the documentary.
How do you find that balance of telling those generally difficult to hear stories and balancing it with the need for change and showing the path for change? How do you find that kind of balance in the show?
Look, it's completely driven by participants. You know, I think a common thread among the people that were willing to share their stories throughout the documentary is that they're fighting this fight every day. And in some cases, you know, they've fought this fight for years, if not decades, and they still hold hope. And so, you know, telling their stories and allowing them to tell their stories, you know, an important point to highlight is this is not about Lad Bible or Amazon saying, look, it's what's happening to these communities, or look, it's what's happening to these individuals. It's us handing the mic to those communities and saying, tell your story, tell your truth, share that with the world. And yeah, hopefully we've done that effectively.
Yeah, I think you have for sure, because I mean, I'm personally familiar with some of the stories, like David's story, and it still hits home. It still is very, it's upsetting to see. And, you know, throughout this year, there have been some really powerful films or series that have been covering the same kind of subject matter. The Bower of Murders, for example, which is obviously, it's a very powerful movie that was on SBS. And that is about the need for change and structural change in Australia. And I guess for me, at the end of watching this, I'm left with hope that this kind of program, this kind of, you know, the social action that is done by Lad Bible, that is done by Amazon, will actually help instigate some kind of change. how do you kind of, how do you branch that for in yourself? How do you kind of set an expectation of what the audience will receive from when they particularly watch this series themselves?
I think, you know, everyone will likely, and it is, you know, it is a conversation that there's a lot of different opinions on. And I think a lot of different audience members are going to interpret this differently. But what we've done is, you know, we've received a fantastic review today talking about how it's not sensational what we do. We're just presenting the facts. We're presenting the stories. And I think, you know, when you are presented with, you know, these kind of details and the data behind it and really digging into how this impacts people on a personal level, yeah, you know, I think we're really going to sway a lot of people to realize that this is an issue and this is impacting people's everyday lives and families and tearing communities apart. And, you know, we really need to start stepping in the right direction. So awareness is definitely the first step. And what we do at the end of each episode is drive the audience to support our partners on the campaign and series and support the communities and issues they're fighting for. And hopefully we see that support off the back of that. You know, if the campaign's shown us anything, if we tell the stories, people will garner and boss that support. So hopefully we see the same with the launch of the documentary.
Yeah, fingers crossed. That would be really helpful. I discussed the show when I was on the radio earlier in the week and had recommended to people. I do a weekly show that's on the radio talking about new TV and film and things like that. And one of the things that the co-host that I was on there with was, he was like, how do you get to the people who don't think they're racist, but actually might be, or actually are, or might be blind to the systemic racism in Australia? How do you get to those people? How do you get them to sit down and watch a half-hour episode of this?
This is, this is one of the key issues that I think a lot of our experts throughout the documentary also addressed, is that often when we start to detail racism or systems of racism in Australia, it is seen as a cultural attack. And I think, you know, that is not the case. We're aware of where these communities and where these organizations are coming from. They just want to see changes in behavior. It's not trying to condemn anybody. And yeah, Osman Chu, who's a fellow at Per Capita, who appears in the documentary as well, he kind of talks to that and says, you know, we need to kind of address the fact that when we describe these behaviors, the same way as we would describe any assault, you know, we can need to condemn the behavior and not a community or a people. And I think we've tried to divide that to say, we're not saying that Australia is bad. We're not saying that, you know, people are bad. What we're saying is there's behaviors here that we need to address. And, you know, there's positive steps that we can take together.
Yeah. Let's talk about the partners for this as well. As you mentioned at the beginning there is an extensive list of partners. Was that a case of Lad Bible going to the partners and saying, here's what we want to work with? Or was there kind of a community shout out to say, if you're working in this field, come to us and let us know how we can help you?
Yeah, in June 2020, you know, when we really recognized that we could help in this space, it was just making those phone calls. So day in and day out, I was speaking with different partners, different organizations, people who I felt could benefit, you know, from utilizing our platform. And really kind of explained to them that we would be a third arm. We would, you know, whatever support they need, we could be there for them. And so we've created a direct line for them to access our platform. And this documentary series is going one step further. You know, we're not only accessing now Lad Bible Australia's reach of over 500 million, but Amazon Prime Video, potentially Amazon Prime Video's global reach of over 175 million. So, you know, there's some big numbers there. And if we can funnel those into the people who need it, then, you know, I think we're headed in the right direction.
I must say, I was a little bit, I think I've mentioned this before, but I was a little bit surprised that Amazon was behind it too. The things that they've been putting out has been opposed to what has been putting out by the other streaming services. There seems to be a real push for art house or fringe stories that aren't usually explored on other streaming services. You know, I look at Annette, which is obviously a completely different entity in itself, but that's funded by Amazon too, and that's put out by the service. Is it really important to have a streaming service like this that is taking risks to tell these kinds of stories and embrace these kinds of art house entertainment or fringe entertainment that might not be supported elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a big part of that is reaching a global audience and supporting it. You know, Amazon Prime Video are making a presence here in Australia, and I think they're making sure that they're telling Australian stories, and these are important Australian stories. And the benefit to making sure that even uncomfortable conversations and documentaries like this that are broaching those, reaching a global audience really kind of bolsters that support. You know, if history's shown us anything, putting more of a global focus on particular issues of a country really kind of puts the pressure on decision makers to make positive change. And I think they're doing the right thing by being able to share those Australian stories and you know, support the local community.
What's the hope with a global aspect for this series too? Because obviously it's to help enlighten Australians who are going to be watching it and learning these stories. But what's the aim globally in America and specifically who might not be familiar with these kinds of stories taking place in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. Conversations that we're having in Canada, US, UK, and, you know, even the previews and peaks and trailers that we've sent out now, we're getting a lot of feedback of people saying, we had no idea this was happening in your country. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that there is so much coverage of this in the US. There's so much coverage of this in the UK that many Australians know more about issues in other countries than they do their own. And so I think, yeah, creating that global awareness, getting the support of larger countries, of countries that are often more publicized, that do have, you know, active communities that support progress in this space, you know, I think that can only help us.
Where do you see the future of, this is a very broad question, so I apologize for that, but mainstream media in Australia doesn't do a very good job of covering the kinds of stories. So where do you see the future of media as a whole? Is it in fields like social media, like streaming services, that these stories are going to find an audience? Or will there be a push to eventually change mainstream media to be able to cover these stories more? Because I look at like the Black Lives Matter protest last year, and there was more of a conversation about social distancing rather than the actual cause itself. And that's terrible. But there needs to be some kind of action, from my perspective, at least for mainstream media. Yeah. Again, a broad question, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, no worries. Oh, I think there has been progress, definitely. You know, if you look at reporting, say 30, 40 years ago, in terms of, I think that's what you're speaking to, and how media talk about these communities, certain communities, there has been progress, but absolutely there's a long way to go. You know, we have an episode that looks at how the African community in Australia are portrayed. And there's absolutely evidence to say that, you know, we need to take steps forward, and the impacts that has on young people as well. You know, as adults, I think you can say, okay, you know, that this is how the media view my community. But as young people, you know, you really take that on board, and it can really be detrimental to their mental health, you know, and their sense of value. So, you know, what we've tried to do, at least in the campaign leading up to the documentary, is set that example, making sure that we're covering these stories consistently, making sure that how we tell these stories are factual, and allowing the voices of those directly impacted to be heard as well. And we hope, you know, that example kind of catches on.
The first two episodes are free for people who aren't Amazon Prime subscribers. What was the decision behind that?
Making sure that we can reach as many people as possible. Yeah, I think if we can make these episodes accessible to the widest possible audience, it can only be a good thing. So yeah, that was the reasoning by making those first two episodes free.
And I mean, they're really powerful episodes, and unfortunately they're still so relevant. Every single day we hear more stories, like just here I'm in WA, and we've had the story of a police officer who was let off for having shot somebody, and it's just like these kinds of stories are really important to tell. So I hope that the audience has really come to this particular series and seek it out. Was there anything that surprised you as the series went on that you didn't expect to be told or explored?
I think, you know, what was a really sobering truth was how we keep updating the numbers when we were dealing with these issues. You know, during production of the Indigenous Deaths in Custody episode, five more Indigenous people died in custody. During the development of the attacks towards Asians during COVID, obviously that's a very live issue as well. During the pandemic, you know, the hundreds more attacked in Australia. And so, you know, I think that was something that we were regularly dealing with, constantly updating those facts and numbers that we had to make sure that they were most relevant. You know, I think that was quite sobering in itself. And yeah, you know, dealing with subject matter and having that constantly evolve as you're trying to tell a story, it makes it even more real. So yeah, you know, on top of that, just bearing witness and working with the participants throughout the documentary, you know, the heart and courage that they have to tell their stories and continue to fight, you know, that was something really inspiring.
What kind of support was offered to the participants and the crew as well, like yourself in particular, who are dealing with these tragic stories and the increasing numbers of people dying in custody? What kind of support was offered there?
We had support services that we shared with participants and partners and those involved throughout the course of production. And so, you know, that was an important part. We formed a very tight-knit family, you know, throughout the course of the production and, you know, sharing these stories, it's obviously bound to happen. And so, you know, I think a key part and a lot of the people that, you know, feature throughout the documentary series, they have been in the public eye for some time. And so they were used to telling these stories and going out there, but it doesn't make it any, you know, less traumatic. I think whenever you share these stories, it definitely opens up wounds and we witness that. But, you know, checking along the way to make sure that the participants were driving the narrative of each episode, I think that was, you know, something that was kind of our guiding compass to make sure that we were headed in the right direction. And then we were making sure that it wasn't being sensationalized and really telling their truth in the most sensitive possible way.
Is there, like, people watch the series, they watch all of it. Where can they go afterwards to basically put an action and, you know, go to a website to learn a little bit more to help support things?
Yeah, well, at the end of each episode, what we do is drive the audience towards the partner platforms and to support those participants and their outs for justice. But we've also created the ladbible.com/unheard platform, which also directs people to those relative partner petitions, donation programs, volunteer programs. You know, we've already seen that when we're putting those stories out there, and a lot of those stories are appearing on that page, when we're putting those stories out there, we're getting a fantastic response. And it just speaks to, you know, even though they are uncomfortable conversations to have, when you tell those stories, you know, a very wide population respond in a positive way.
How do you say positive as well?
How do I say positive? I'm just a happy guy. I mean, I think it's inspiring, as I mentioned before, inspiring working with, you know, each of the individuals who continue to fight on. I think if any one of us on the team in the making of this documentary ever felt like, oh, you know, life is too hard, we only need to look for inspiration of those people that we're highlighting. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of courage to share their stories and continue to fight every day, day in and day out. So, you know, I think that's perhaps where I draw my positivity from.
As always, I want to thank my guests, Sian, for being on this particular episode and discussing the show Unheard, which is available on Amazon Prime. And again, those first two episodes are available for viewers for free. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can at least check out those first two episodes and see what it's all about and maybe get a little bit hooked and get a subscription or whatever you need to do to watch the rest of those episodes. I highly recommend it. And I want to take a hats off to the work that the people, the folks at Lad Bible are doing with these kinds of projects. As we mentioned in the particular interview there that you've just heard, the Great Barrier Reef project that they've worked on is pretty significant. the work on reducing the impact and the stigmas associated with gay folks and bi folks in the UK and being able to donate blood is really significant as well. I had kind of wanted to ask a little bit more about that, but we're here to talk about Unheard, and I really want to have that kind of project instigated here in Australia, because a lot of people don't know that gay folks here in Australia and bi folks here in Australia are still not able to donate blood, which is quite problematic. Right. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion, or at least got something from it. I certainly did, and I get a lot from these discussions, and I find them really, really powerful, and I'm really fortunate to be able to actually participate and do these and share these interviews with you. And with that in mind, I'm also really grateful and thankful that throughout this week, we're going to be celebrating the Sydney Film Festival, which is launching at the end of this week. And to help launch this particular festival, we have a whole bunch of interviews that are coming up. I have personally interviewed Ben Lawrence, Kylie Bracknell, JJ Winlove, John Bell, a whole bunch of really great Australian filmmakers that are coming up. So make sure to keep your eyes on thecurb.com.au for those interviews, and stay hooked to this RSS feed as well, because there's also an interview coming up with Kia Roche-Turner, the director of the new Wormwood film. I really enjoyed that one too. That's going to be popping up in your feed very shortly, guys, and make sure to follow us on social media to keep track of this as well. Facebook and Twitter, The Curb AU on both of those platforms. If you want to go the extra step, a little help over at patreon.com/TheCurbAU. As little as $1 a month helps keep the website nice and independent. Alright guys, I usually try and keep these nice and short, but nonetheless, here I am wrapping it up, and I will see you in the next one. Thanks guys.